You just found the most entertaining Iowa podcast in the world. It's the Washed Up Walk-Ons. On today's episode, the OC search has been completed. We're going to talk about that on the back half. Is Travis and Taylor's relationship real, or is that a publicity stunt? Is Drake going to the Super Bowl? And did I come around on his opinions on the Beth Getz, Brian Ferentz situation? You're in for one. Let's have a day. Let's go. Into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast.
I think I just saw, as I was listening to the intro music, a Pete's review of Dave Portnoy wearing a supporting Caitlin Clark. What do you think about that?
He is a big supporter.
He is. He tweets about him all the time.
Who's not these days, though? I mean,
it's hard not to be. It's greatness.
If you just like fun.
You said if you just like fun?
Yeah, if you just like fun, you probably like Caitlin Clark. Like, who doesn't love three-pointers?
It's true. It's an exciting brand of basketball, just launching threes.
Yeah.
It's what my senior year, that's what we did.
Actually, like, probably like 2012, like, basketball people being like, Steph Curry's ruining this game for the youngsters.
Yeah.
They probably don't like Caitlin Clark either. But
The people who played when there wasn't a three-point line.
I was watching a video the other day. It was like history of the NBA.
Yeah.
The dribble was invented shockingly late. Shocking. Like, really? There are all-time NBA greats who started their careers in the NBA before dribbling existed. And then I was like, this puts the GOAT debate into more perspective for me.
I thought dribbling was always a part of the sport. When did dribbling come along?
No, like, it was okay. So this is like, it's within the first like 10 years of the NBA. But like, there was, I think it was like Bill Russell's first few years in the NBA, dribbling didn't exist.
For a long time in the
nothing against Bill Russell, but also I didn't know that the NBA ever, I didn't know basketball ever existed without dribbling.
I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, I would just full court press the entire time. Like, you double up someone in the corner and they can't dribble, or
I don't know though. Yeah, yeah, be careful. You got some good passers, you're gonna get burnt.
Yeah, I mean, you tell me it was ultimate frisbee, but with basketball back then.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
My mom will mention all the time how she played 6-on-6 basketball, and they were only allowed to dribble three times. I think, like, they limited the dribble. First, it was invented, Grant. Then it was limited. They tried to hold it back.
Ooh.
Do you know about 6-on-6? We talked about it when
We did. Yeah, like Jan Jensen.
Yeah, that's still one of our best clips on TikTok. By the way, TikTok is back.
Disregard what I was saying. I think I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
Never mind. My bad.
Grant.
Damn it, Grant.
Grant's spreading rumors.
I think they had dribbling a lot. My bad.
Can you imagine, Kevin? They invented shooting in the 1940s. Before that, you just stood out there on the court and just passed it around.
I think I got, because the video I saw was very convincing. But I'm now that
Spreading misinformation on our...
Probably, yeah. Because now that I really sit and think about it, I'm like, that, there's just no way that's true.
We're getting banned for sure.
Is it?
Okay. There's going to be a tag on all of our videos and podcasts. Like, be careful. This podcast has been known to spread misinformation. Kevin, how we doing? Missed you the other day.
Yeah, how was the pod, boys?
It was great. You should listen to it. I think it'd be worth your time.
Yeah, I always enjoy a good movie discussion.
Wanted to start tonight's episode off with you don't have to give us a hard list, but like any come to mind when you think of like a top five movies for yourself?
This is sports movies, right?
Sports movies, yeah.
I don't have a top five off the top of my head, but I think generally I actually don't like football movies that much.
They're not a lot of them aren't great, you know,
just because I feel like it's very cringy and not, yeah, I just like don't feel like it's authentic to the experience.
How about Remember the Titans, though?
I do like Remember Titans. Okay. Remember the Titans is my favorite football movie by far.
That was mine in my top five as well.
That'd probably crack into my top five. I think I'm not even a hockey fan, but I think Miracle is probably the best sports movie out there.
Yeah. Mike brought up, I never even heard of this until the other night, Slapshot.
Mm-hmm. Great movie.
He said it's what did he say? He described it as like if he said I think he said there's like a bunch of fighting in it. Like they just literally like just brawling all over the place. Like, and several people in the Discord said it as well when the discussion was going on in there. So
Field of Dreams got to be up there too.
That was in one of them. Grant, was that yours?
That was my number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mike, if you listen to the podcast, you hear it, but his pod crew, they got to go and stay in the Field of Dreams house.
Oh, no way. That'd be kind of sick.
And they were, and his band, the Pork Tornadoes, they played for one of like the parties for like the Reds, like the after, I don't know. It wasn't the after party, but it was like some event that the Reds were, might've been the hospitality tent or something like that.
Like when
they had that big game. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be kind of sick. I actually really want to go to that game one year.
It'd be very cool.
That'd be very cool. Yeah.
Such a unique experience that you just like it's a legitimate game that counts for the schedule. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And
it's at Cornfield in Dyersville, Iowa.
Yeah. It's similar to like
– I am upset. I feel like the White Sox should get to play in that game every year though.
This should be their thing.
I mean, the movie's about Shoeless Joe Jackson. And Black Sox. So, I mean, I feel like the White Sox should be there every year.
Well, then you're not spreading the wealth, not all the organizations.
Fuck everyone and fuck the wealth being spread around. This is America, and it's not always fair.
It's true. It's a good point made there by Kevin. You running for president this year?
Yeah, I might as well throw my hat in the ring
on that platform.
Yeah,
I'd vote for you. I swear to God,
fuck everyone, life's not fair.
Yeah,
I feel like that people can get behind that.
What do you think about that, Gary?
I'm gonna be honest. I've been trying to figure out how I was so wrong about
it. He's been researching the dribble for fun.
I think I was thinking of shot clock because the shot clock didn't come until 1954.
There still isn't a shot clock in high school basketball. Got teams really? Holding it for an entire 8 minutes.
They gotta change that.
Have you ever seen those clips?
Well, until recently, like the college shot clock was 40, and they moved it down to 30.
Yeah,
or was it 35, and they moved it down to 30.
I always was so confused about how the NBA scored so many points. Like, obviously, they're very good, right, at scoring the basketball. It's an offensive game. Some would say that there's not a lot of defense played either. But then you look at it and like the shot clock is like what? Like
24.
Is it 24 seconds?
Yeah.
It's like you got to get it across court and you are, it's up. You got to put it up. It's like, there you go.
That's why you got to be a good shooter and, forces more possessions equal more shots equal more points. People like scoring points.
They do. Caitlin Clark included. Caitlin and company, Hawkeyes in Evanston tonight for, a game where the bottom price ticket to get in as of this morning was something like almost $300 for the worst ticket available.
For the old Northwestern Kitty Cats. That's a pretty small gym there, I think, right?
Sure. So you're driving up demand by low supply. You're in Chicago. So there's a ton of Chicago, Iowa fans who are like, this is my one chance to see Caitlin this year.
Mm-hmm.
And those are probably the two reasons, because Iowa's favored by like 34. They're favored by 34 points.
So they're just coming to witness greatness.
Yeah. I think Caitlin has on one of the apps I saw, maybe iColt tweeted it out. Caitlin's over under was like 33.5. Her points, rebounds, assists over under number was 49.5.
I would love to get a breakdown, see how she's doing against her point number, like over under.
That would be fun. Yeah, that would be fun. I don't know. I believe tonight she moves into second all time. I think she is going to pass whoever's in second tonight. I think she's 9 points behind or something like that. So then she has one left. I think she's like 120 or 30 points away from it, depending on how much she scores tonight.
So four games, basically.
Probably four games, yeah. Yeah, and it's supposed to happen at home versus like Michigan, I think, is the projection right now.
Happening at home would be sick.
Cannot hear you, Grant, because you're on mute. You're a horrible producer. You're fired.
I'm sorry.
What were you saying?
Oh, I was saying she's definitely going to get into third tonight, but could easily get into second place as well.
Okay. Oh, so she's still in fourth.
Who's the top of her? Who's a 1, 2, 3 right now?
So we got Kelsey Plum, still number one. Kelsey Mitchell is number two. Mm. And then Jackie Stiles is number three by a whopping 4 points.
Jackie Stiles. Where'd she play? Missouri State or something like that?
Missouri State.
Yeah. Seen the list a couple times. It's been tweeted out. So that's the only reason I know that. It's just absurd. Any other movies on that come to mind, Kev?
So
I think, I don't know if you saw the Instagram graphic Grant put up, but he put up our top fives. I had Remember the Titans, Rocky, Sandlot was supposed to be in there, but I didn't change it last minute when I thought of it. Space Jam was in there.
Oh, I love Space Jam.
Elite movie.
Yeah, that was honestly one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Moneyball was in there, and then I forgot my other one.
Moneyball is a good movie.
Radio.
Radio?
Yeah, bro.
Bro, no.
It was just like the only reason it's in there is because one of all of the sports movies I've ever watched, it's a very low number just in general, like percentage of potential picks. So like a lot of people's top five, I have never even seen the movies that they're saying. So I have a low.
So Radio would probably also be in your bottom five is what you're saying?
No. Maybe.
Like I have nine.
I've seen nine movies, and Radio is number five on my bottom five. Yeah. It sits at the crest of bottom and top.
Let's see who else you guys got on here. See, Friday Night Lights. I mean, it's a solid movie, but I just feel like it. Nah, I don't know.
People were very upset that we didn't all have Friday Night Lights unanimously.
Yeah. Many upset that we didn't have that no one had Hoosiers either.
Yeah.
Rocky's a good one. I like Rocky. Talladega Nights is a funny movie. That's one of my dad's favorite movies, honestly. Karate Kid, solid. I feel like Major League deserves a shout out. Major League's a very funny movie. What else? I don't know. I'd have to think about it. But Remember the Titans, Field of Dreams.
Well, like Blades of Glory.
Ooh, didn't even think of that one.
Figure skating.
Nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going. Will Ferrell is it's all time.
He had a run there, like 8 years of just all hits.
Banger, banger, banger. Yeah. Kevin.
Tyler.
It's a question from the listener. I've had it for a while.
Mm.
The program emphasizes leaving the jersey in a better place than you received it. What was the moment that you realized you had done that?
It's a good question.
It's a great question.
An informed question. I don't feel like the general public knows about that mantra of leaving the jersey in a better place.
If you want to talk about it, you can.
I would just say it's doing your part to advance the program. Now, it's not saying like, oh shit, I got number 43. I have to be better than Josie Jewell now. Like, no, right. that's not what it means.
It's not literal.
It's not. Yeah. It's not literal. It's yes. Doing your part to make sure the program is in a better place than when you started.
Yeah.
And that goes cumulative, all of your contributions over the course of 3, 4, 5 years that you're there. I don't know if there ever was like a time where it's like, I did my part and it's, you know, it's time for me to hang up the jersey, but I did my part. Cause I feel like, you know, the hay's like never in the barn, right?
In a way. Yeah. I mean, no. Yeah. I guess
if I had to give an answer, it was when I was clearing out my locker, when the time came where it's like, hey, the new freshmen are coming in. Like, we're still training for the NFL, but it's we need you guys to clear out your lockers and it's going to the next class now.
What a sad day.
It was a brutally sad day.
I mean, that's
but I would say that was one of the time I guess I had to reflect. It's like, you know, I gave it my all, and I think I exceeded expectations for a slow white walk on safety. And did my part to try to move the program in a better place.
Yeah, I want to zero in on that day for a second because I mean, if people thought it through, maybe they would come to this conclusion. But we could talk about it because we had to do it. You quite literally get a big garbage bag, and you know, at this point, 4 or 5 years into the program, the amount of, even if you keep a clean locker, the pairs of cleats that are in the bottom shoe bin and the amount of tank. Oh, everything stinks. It's, yeah, it's god awful. But you love it. You kind of, it's a smell that you just live in. It's really good, actually, in a way. You know, you got multiple t-shirts in there, sweatshirts, workout clothes, compression shorts, couple towels, like other things that you accumulated.
There's some dudes that have like just leave some nasty like half drinking protein shakes in there for like
My locker was always squeaky clean.
Yeah, mine was pristine.
But I would say the majority of guys treated theirs like a pigsty. It was bad. And you quite literally open up your locker for the last time, punch in your code, and you throw everything in a garbage bag. Your entire, it feels like you're throwing your entire 5 years, your identity literally into the trash. And you're just, you take your nameplate off, slides out.
That was the part. It was like, you're sliding your nameplate out. And he's like,
come to think of it, I might've teared up. I think I actually might've, there could have been a tear or two.
I still got my nameplate.
Yeah, I do too, somewhere. I think it's at my parents' house. My dad has like a weird, like, if you didn't know, yeah. And that just slid into the metal slot right on front of your locker.
Yep.
And it's sad, man. Like it's really tough. But that is definitely a moment where you reflect a little bit and you're like, I hope I did something. You know, I hope. I actually heard this quote from.
That would be a very sad moment to have regret.
Yeah, that would be a tough moment to look back and go, man.
I left a bunch on the table.
Yeah. And I heard this quote. I want to say it was from Bert Kreischer on Two Bears, One Cave, but not the person you would think this quote would come from. Maybe it was him on Rogan. And he said, they say you die twice. Once when your physical body perishes, and again, when the last person who remembers you dies.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's a little dramatic for this example, but it's sort of similar. It's like, well, I'm gone in this program. Like I am dead. My life in this program has died. And hopefully, and in the specialist room, it was always really, there's very much so a older guys. I mean, it was that way with every program, but because the specialist group didn't have a coach for so long, it was like, hey, the older guys they called me dad in the fucking room. Right. And you know, the leader of the group, the seniors of that group had to make sure that you were leaving a standard in place that was going to be quality when the younger specialists stepped in and eventually ran out onto the field and they were the guys. And I thought about that a lot. I would agree with you, Kev. It was probably most evident on that day where you like officially, this is my last time in the complex. But I would say like junior year for me, there was a moment. Kaluzi was our punter that year. And I don't know if I've ever told this on the podcast. I think I did once. Ron was a character, and the specialist room was one where you needed to have very thick skin because specialists get shit on a lot.
It's nature.
It's the nature of the position. So there was sort of an unwritten rule like within the group, and it's not malicious. There was nothing that like was over the top wrong or anything, but within the group, you come in as a young freshman and like you take a lot of crap. Like you take a lot of crap. And Kaluzi came in as a transfer and was an older guy. He came in for 1 year, punted as a senior, but he took the crap that a freshman would take. And at one point he got pissed, and he, at the end of a special team, one of our film sessions, said, Kluver, I want to, can I talk to you? Like, can we talk like in front of everybody? It's just kind of the way that Kaluzi did. So me and Kaluzi went out to the overhang of the indoor facility and we sat there on those couches and he sat there and explained to me how he was fed up with the bullshit that he was taking from everybody in the group and how he should be respected as a leader and all this stuff. And I said, Ron, and I had this conversation with him that was very much so, this is my fourth year in the program. I am the other leader in the special teams group. Here is why the group treats you different than me. And it felt like the first legitimate conversation where I had pull in sweat, like really helping someone understand their place in the program. Not that Ron was like beneath me or something else like that, but like, here's why your dynamic with the team is the way it is. And you're just going to have to brush it off your shoulders because X, Y, and Z. And I felt after that meeting, like I was like what do they call them? Like the person they come in when they've got like somebody trying to a negotiator. I felt like I was the negotiator that came into like a hostage situation. And I was like, I just talked everybody down, everybody easy, easy. That's a moment that comes to mind. But yeah, you never feel like it's all done.
Hay's never in the barn.
You and I still talk to this day. Like, I think I could give me some pads and I could give you two quarters, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I could still survive one more game. How good I'd be, that's another question.
But dude, you would hurt bad. Your body now would hurt bad.
Honestly, dude, I might feel better than I
did. You think so?
I don't know. Maybe.
The perpetual
6 years off of football. I mean,
You're right. I want to see something cool that I just figured out. I'm an idiot. Over here in this app that we use to stream, it's called Restream. There's this QR code feature. And I always thought you had to like load your own QR code in, but literally all you have to do is put a loop in there.
Oh,
and then it creates its own QR code. And that right there, if you're watching on the YouTube, shout out to everybody on the YouTube. Hit the like button, notification. Someone scanned the QR code just now.
That was me. Yeah.
It told me on the screen. Oh my God.
Did it tell you who scanned the QR code?
Yeah. And it gave me your social security number as well.
Oh, good.
So if you're on the YouTube, hit the like button, you know, turn on notifications, subscribe to us. But also, if you're curious about the walk-on store where we sell apparel, known for Great D, Hawks by a Million,
Goat Wallace.
Scan the QR code right there. If you're just listening and you're curious, hey, pull up the YouTube, give us a view.
And we got a Tumblr now.
Oh, we got a Tumblr. You want a little washed up walk-ons Tumblr? Get yourself one. I'll leave that up. Here's something interesting, Kevin. I think Drake, I'm going to preface it with this. Dickhead Tuesday yesterday, of course.
Hmm.
I think Drake, through deeper explanation, may have, by a few percentage points, swayed me closer to his side of the Beth Bryan firing situation.
I'm listening.
So I've got a clip that I'm going to share.
Please do.
Let's call it, there was some internal turmoil, struggle, because I know, and you know, that Drake is a smart guy. Like, he's a pretty smart guy behind all the, you know, like hyperbolic things that he says.
I would say sometimes he's a smart guy.
He's not dumb intellectually, socially, sometimes
if he chooses not to be stupid, sure. Stupid is a choice, and sure. Drake chooses to be stupid,
and he knows that
more
he
than zero times.
You're right, more than zero. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So yesterday on DHT, I thought I want to dig into this a little bit more. I want to know why. And by the way, we hired an offensive coordinator. We're on the back end of this deal now. We're going to get to Tim Lester here in a second. I was like, I know that Drake is not that dumb.
I know that there's no way he truly expected Beth to tell the president to F off and to like just completely commit career suicide over this whole situation that went down. So I'm asked
excited to see how he somewhat changed your mind.
So he clarified his answer, because this whole time, that's what I thought he was suggesting he thought Beth should do. I thought that his alternative and the reason he was mad with Beth was because she didn't tell the higher ups that actually made the decision. You know, she didn't give them the finger and tell them, okay, you guys talk about it. Then you guys make the announcement. I'm not doing it. You know, but his response was actually that he wish, and this is, again, I was swayed a couple points. I'm still on the other side of things. But his response was he wish that she just would have lied. And I'll play the clip. I know everybody's super intrigued right now. All right. Hopefully you guys can hear this. You wish Beth would have done. So is that what you wish Beth would have done?
100%. I said that months and months ago. Lie. Politicians lie. That's all they do. Stand there and say, no decision's been made. We are sticking with the staff we have until the conclusion of this season. And once this season concludes, we'll see what happens when the dust settles. But like right now, the only thing that matters is this football program's success. And all we care about is the winning this week, the next week, and every week to follow until this season concludes. You stick okay. behind your staff, bro. You don't just say, yeah, we're throwing this guy away. So go ahead and try and win with this dude we think is junk.
So is that
– so what do we think about that?
So is he saying that if that's what they had done, that he wouldn't be mad at Beth, the athletic department, or the university in general?
So I dug into that as well with him, and I was like, I think you're – you're great. Because
he's not wrong in general about a different avenue they could have taken.
Right. And that's essentially what I'm.
And I think we both agree that the manner in which that the whole situation was handled was poor at best.
Yes. And I'm actually, so this explanation, and we, for those that are interested, this was a 25-minute conversation that Drake and I had about this whole ordeal. Patreon.com. That sounds super silly. Like, hey, if you want to get Drake's extended comments on the best situation, sign up for our Patreon. That's the reality of it, because he's not on the main show. I don't give a shit if you sign up for the Patreon. We got who we got over there and we love them. They're the army. But it was an extended conversation where he really dives into his answer and what he truly meant. Now, the way he went about it and the public
not in any way, shape, or form the way he came out and put it on social media.
Correct. He completely misconstrues what he's actually trying to say. And obviously there's a lot of posts and statements on social media that lack context. It's just sort of the nature of the platforms. But
it also could be that, you know, her marching orders could very well be, we are announcing this to the
public. That's true. I kind of agree with him though. I think that when it all happened, and from what I've heard, Beth not very happy that it got leaked. Can't imagine she would be, because then she was put in this predicament. They definitely could have decided to go the route of what we'll answer to the rumor that no decisions have been made, like Drake said. You stick with your staff. We're focused on winning games this year. We'll talk about this and deal with this situation that's got so much media attention at the end of the year. I agree. I think truly that's what they should have done. Now, there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, you're scaring away recruits. Like, making the decision midseason is good for optics of like your team next year and moving forward. You can make that argument.
I'm guessing that the reason it happened the way it did is because that there were some big money people getting money to the program that said, I want this guy out now and I want everyone to know it.
Yeah, probably. And
you know, it
I'm guessing the leak originated from.
Yeah, somebody that's like, I don't give a shit. I'm telling somebody this and it'll get out.
Well, yeah, you think people would throw around money like that, don't talk. It's like, yeah, we got rid of this guy. And then that.
Oh, of course they're talking. They got to talk about what they're doing with all their money.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really getting a further answer from Drake, I thought was interesting on that. I asked him about like him being mad with Beth about just the decision in general that they were going to get rid of Brian, like, or just anybody in general who wanted to get rid of Brian. He said, of course, I'm Brian's my guy. He rides for his guys. But he came to the conclusion, kind of like you said, like the situation handled about as poorly as it could have been. And there's other ways to go about it. So if anyone wants a little bit of extra on all of that Drake stuff, it was, we've gotten rave reviews from the Patreon members. I think up to seven people now in just the last day and a half have DM'd me or put into the Discord, really, really enjoyed DHT today. This was my favorite DHT you guys have done. I got a text from one of the guys who happens to also be a client, and he's like, Drake really opened my eyes today. I'm still on the other side, but hearing his explanation actually helped a lot to help me understand where Drake was coming from with all that. And it makes sense. So if you want that, patreon.com/washupwalkons, go ahead and sign up for the DHT. Should we talk about some football?
Foosball.
Two championship games. Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl again for what seems like the 10th time in a row. I think the Chiefs' darlingness has waned a little bit. I think they're the villain now.
Yeah, it's what's the old quote? It's like you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
And I think they've lived long enough.
Yeah, there's one thing that America hates, and it's a team that wins too much.
Yep.
And the Patriots were the evil dynasty for a long time. They have since fallen by the wayside, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs. So people,
this
maybe
this is way worse.
Why is this way worse, Grant?
Because Grant is a Broncos fan.
Well, that's, you know, it's one of the many points, but okay. I don't know. I mean, a lot of referee help. You know that they don't got like a little bit. I think the Pats also had more likable characters. More likable players.
Well, think about it this way. Imagine if Nebraska was still competing for national championships every year. Oof. Like, how insufferable would that fan? They're insufferable when they're going 5-7.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow at 4-8, they're still insufferable.
So I can probably empathize with Grant's position of why this is worse.
It's kind of weird because I was one of those people. I don't have a team in the NFL. You know, they make their run. They start getting good. Pat is Pat. They got Travis. And it's like the first couple of years was like, this is cool. Like the Chiefs aren't the Patriots. It's fun to see a different team be good. And then
who did they beat the first year? Was it San Fran the first year they beat them?
This is a rematch.
Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of 2020.
Yeah.
It's funny because I have no reason. Nothing's changed. Other than they've kept winning. And now I'm like, I'd like to see somebody else. I don't hate them by any means.
I mean, they're kind of winning in a different way, though, right? It's like their defense is kind of elite this year. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are still Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. But yeah, especially it's not like, yeah, they're not throwing up 30, 40 points a game anymore.
No. Travis passed is it Jerry Rice for the most postseason receptions all time?
He did.
It's crazy.
Damn.
He's going to destroy that record now.
And him and Pat the week before passed Gronk and Brady for the most postseason touchdowns between a quarterback receiver pairing.
Someone has to stop this.
How old is Pat Mahomes? Is he 30 yet?
29? No, I don't think so.
He's like our age.
Is he? He might be our age. Yeah.
He came out. He was a draft class before us. I don't know if he registered or not.
He's 28.
He'll turn 29 in September.
Okay.
What day in September?
17th.
Ah, I just wanted to see if we had the same birthday. I would have known that. Wow. So yeah, he's got a lot of good years left.
Don't say that.
Travis doesn't. He's older.
Kelsey's probably got two or three more.
Yeah, and he said that on a podcast. He's like, you know, his contract's up in like 2 years or something, and he's always said that he'll run it till the rails fall off. But you know, your body only takes so much. You also at some point you're like, if you're one of those guys who's 10 years deep in the league, you've made all the money in the world.
You've won Super Bowls,
and you're now on a team in the backside of your career that doesn't have a chance at being seriously competitive. Those guys don't give a shit anymore. There's no reason to give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about it, right? It's like I've gone and achieved every possible goal that you could possibly think of for a successful career. Money, championships,
longevity, stats,
records. If I'm on a team that's no longer competitive, why would I spend my time where I'm beating down my body that's going to really come back to me in the next 20, 30 years down the road?
Yeah. Oh, health starts to become a huge thing.
Yeah, exactly. For what purpose, right? It's like money. I've got all the money I could possibly want right now.
You start to realize that the risk benefit is...
Right. The $15 million I'm going to make this year is not worth the... You know,
CTE. 3 years
earlier that I'm going to have to get a knee replacement or something.
Right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. A lot of people out there saying the Travis, Kelsey, Taylor Swift relationship, it's all for show. It's all a ploy.
I've heard the theories.
Yes.
Election year. Travis is doing vaccine commercials. Taylor Swift, most popular person in the world, put those two together, get a little political agenda going.
It's all rigged.
It's all rigged, and the Broncos should be in the championship.
If it wasn't rigged, that's how it would be.
You're right. Josie Jewell would be fighting for a ring against George Kittle.
Well, he does fight for them in the regular season.
But he would be currently still fighting.
Ah, can only dream.
So basically what you're saying, Grant, is you got to get one of your Broncos to start dating a superstar so that the script writers are like, yeah, we got to write these people into the
Ciara a superstar?
Ciara is literally like a international pop star.
What about Condoleezza Rice? Is she a superstar? Part owner?
She's part owner of the Broncos?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's your problem.
Whoa. What's wrong with Condoleezza Rice?
Yeah, what's wrong with Condoleezza Rice? Oh, forgive me, but I thought like the Waltons owned the Broncos.
Majority ownership.
Okay.
But there's a fancy booth with like her and Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton.
They're like the
F1 owner.
Famous faces box full of the famous owners.
When's Grant Allen going to get a slice of that pie?
The Broncos?
Yeah. Just 2 years?
I was going to say, we got to get it. A lot of downloads. So would you go ahead and hit that subscribe button?
You can buy shares of the Green Bay.
Buy some shirts right here.
Yeah, right on that QR link. We need about
who knows?
We need a lot more than a million t-shirts sold. We would have to sell
The Waltons sell a million t-shirts every like 30 days probably.
I know.
You can still buy that pro lacrosse team in Denver. Still working on it.
True. It is interesting the Taylor Travis stuff. I think it's I don't know. Now there's the drama of like, is she going to make it back from Tokyo to the Super Bowl? She's got her Eras tour for 4 days, and then she has to fly back. You think Taylor Swift's going to...
If she doesn't, she's soft.
Soft and mentally weak. She could have 10 private... She's so rich, she could have so many private jets, and they could... She could have a private jet escort her through the air in her other private jet if she wanted to. Never see it hit the bank account. No dents. And make it to the Super Bowl.
Well, like a cargo plane is going to pick up her private plane.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that's luxury.
And if you're a superstar, you don't miss the Super Bowl, dude. Super Bowl's, I mean, I think the cheapest Super Bowl ticket is like $9,000 or something like that.
How do you afford that?
You don't.
You don't.
You don't. You win it from a company auction, or you're super rich, or you're.
Or you know an NFL player who gives them to you.
Right. Which could be Drake, by the way. Drake, we didn't confirm on yesterday's DHT. I didn't even ask him. Dropped the ball on that one. George is superstitious, though, and that's why Drake has been to the last two games out in San Fran 2 weeks in a row. And he said that there's a decent chance he might be in Vegas for the Soupy.
He has to be there then. If he is superstitious,
he's got
to
go. Right?
Well, I don't think Drake's buying that ticket. You would need George.
The NFL players, they get tickets.
They do. Yeah. So he would, but I don't know how many. And
I don't know how many. So actually,
there's no way they're making Meemaw pay $50,000 to go watch.
No, they're not. But yeah. They're not giving each player 20 tickets either. They're limited. So
it's either two or four. I want to say.
Well, his family's going. I know that. So, Claire, both parents, like George might have to.
Well, I mean, that's where you could go ask Josie for tickets.
Josie. Oh, every NFL player
gets them. Unless that changed in the last CBA.
Wow.
Because remember, I remember Josie's first couple years, he had to go in person to sell them or something like that.
Oh yeah, I do remember. I remember Gervais maybe saying something about that too. Okay. I didn't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I still don't want to do it. But Grant, what's the one thing left on our itinerary over there?
Let me double check.
Yeah.
We could. Oh no, you did cover Kelce and Taylor.
All right. Every player on the team roster receives two complimentary tickets and can choose to purchase an additional 13 tickets at face value, allowing each player the opportunity to acquire up to 15 tickets in total. So
I think Kittle's getting a box.
He can buy the face value, I think, is $2,000 or $3,000. So
there you go.
Yeah, they can afford. He can afford to get that if he wants to.
All right, Drake might have a ticket then.
But to answer your question, the last thing on the docket is Iowa offensive coordinator Tim Lester.
I don't want to
point fingers here or anything, but
okay. I wrote this bullet point down as Tim Lester and the douchebags on Twitter. I don't want to talk about this. The reaction to us, which it officially came out today, by the way, the Wednesday, the 31st, but the news broke on Sunday, so we've had 3 or 4 days of this. And Iowa fans, some who have this, and they're going to throw me in this category as well. It's okay. I'll join the club. Some Iowa, random no-name Iowa fans, some with anonymous accounts, don't even know their real name, who have they like to be edgy on Twitter and tweet fun things about every new thing that happens, and they've gained some followers within the Iowa space. I could name them, but I would never give them that credit. I'd never give them that publicity. I've got a list of about 15 of them though, that just all they want to do is they just farm interactions. They just farm them by putting up edgy or controversial opinions that they don't believe, or maybe if they do, they're just bad people, and all they want is to build their little 2,000 to 3,000 Twitter following to 3,500, and it's so obvious, and it hurts me. And Tim Lester was another one. You had dozens of Iowa people who, and I have a theory on this, who when it was announced that Kevin Johns was not going to be the guy from Duke, and it was going to be this Tim Lester guy, within minutes, they're going, well, guess Iowa's offense is going to be the same. Knew I shouldn't have got my hopes up. I've looked at three plays that Tim Lester ran at Western Michigan, and all I can say is, we're doomed. Hey, guys, delete your account. Delete it. Because you're trash. I saw somebody who had several tweets like that, then came back around yesterday, Kevin, in 2 days. All he's watched is YouTube clips of when Tim Lester was at Western Michigan. And he goes, happy to admit, I think I was wrong about this Lester hire.
Hey, it takes a lot to admit when you're wrong.
I've watched more on his offense and the RPO and this and the yada yada. And I looked at some numbers of his offensive rankings. And you know what? I think I'm bought in. I think I'm going to give this hire a chance.
That was funny as shit.
Hey,
Yes.
Iowa fan 42782. You're not giving anybody anything because no one fucking cares about you. And no one cares about me for all that matters. Me as a former player with 13,000 followers on Twitter, if I tweeted my opinions of the hire,
humble brag,
nobody cares.
That is funny. Yes, Grant, it does take a big man to admit when you're wrong. What it doesn't take is a big man to do even the most basic research before tweeting.
Before you shout out an opinion 10 minutes after the announcement. It makes me want to blow my brains out, to be honest.
People just like being mad.
They love to be enraged. And here's what I think. I think everybody got excited because they heard Duke, and Duke's been a little – they've been a little exciting recently on the football side of things. And Kevin Johns was the leader of that offense down there. And he was a guy that no one saw as a potential candidate originally. We were talking about Paul Christ and the Budmeier guy that's already on staff as an analyst and all these other things. And then all of a sudden, oh, my God, Kevin Johns, who's this? He's the new shiny potential from down on the East Coast. And then
also, like, people, the majority of these accounts have no idea who Kevin Johns is either.
Nobody. They don't know anything about these people. Oh my God. I just saw one before. It's like Iowa Analytics, 12 followers. It's like, I am so excited for this Tim Lester hire. I've done some research on his offense from Western Michigan. It's like, dude, you searched Western Michigan football 2018 and you watched 17 minutes of the game. You've done your research? I want to run my head into a brick wall, Kevin, seeing the people react to this. They got all excited because, oh my God, Kevin Johns, he's rumored to be the guy. And maybe we're at fault for this because we had a whole episode that came out when that was the rumor that was like, you know, we were perpetuating that potential outcome. And yeah. And then it's not him. And so people automatically think that the other option's bad. Like, we have this non-logical line of thinking. I'll compare it to this. It's like your mom and dad tell you you're going for dessert. We're going to get a new dessert that we've never had tonight, Kevin. And we're thinking it might be this new ice cream place from down the road. Oh, it might be ice cream. Ooh. And then you find out on the way there, ice cream.
We're going to go get cupcakes.
You're getting cookies tonight instead. These warm, fresh cookies. And you're pissed because you thought you were getting ice cream. And you start lashing out. Cookies suck. Nobody loves cookies. This is going to be the same as when we were eating cake the other night. It's like, what did cookies do to you? You're just mad because you had...
If we just told you from the start you were getting cookies, you would have been all excited.
You were so excited. It's the exact same thing. Well, I went and did research on this cookie, and it turns out that the amount of flour that they use in the – it's like, dude, come on. It kills me. So this is why I don't want to talk about it. And you know what? You want me to analyze the hire? I can't because I don't know shit about Tim Lester or Kevin Johns. You can look up their offensive rankings, which, by the way, pretty good at Western Michigan. If you look, I think he had four offenses within the top 35 or something like that.
We'll take that.
He was with the Packers this past year. He was a head coach. He's been an OC. He's done a lot of things. He's got a different style of offense, at least in the past that he's run of compared to what the Hawks are traditionally known for. I mean, how about we just let it happen, because you're not making any decisions and neither am I. We can bitch all we want, but when they run out there in September, Tim Lester is going to be the guy. So let's just see what happens. You know, it blows my mind, and I get it. Have some cool, unique opinion on the new hire and you'll get some likes. You'll get some clicks. Ooh, we can sulk in the misery together. Oh,
Coach Ferentz didn't pick who the Twitter mob wanted. Of course, this is so KF-like. And I know I'm going to get the hate. I know it's coming. Kluver hates the fans. Kluver knows better than the fans. I don't. I'll stand here today, look you in the eyes, and tell you I don't. That's the problem, is you guys think you know more than Coach Ferentz, the guy who sat down and interviewed the guy. Any other opinions? I'm done with my soapbox. I'm done with the rant. I damn near, Kevin, deleted Twitter.
No, you didn't.
Almost deleted the app.
No, you didn't.
For the first time ever, I actually considered it. I probably wasn't almost there, but I considered it.
No, I mean, I think you made a great point. We are not going to analyze the decision here because that would take hours to do it somewhat justice, and I don't want to do that.
No. So, you know, I'm glad it's a closed book. I'll say that.
Yeah, we'll see what it looks like at spring ball. People are going to overreact to spring ball.
Sure are.
And we'll see what it actually looks like in September.
What a novel concept, Kevin. You're a lunatic.
I know. I'm fucking crazy.
My goodness. Grant, you got any opinions?
I like Tim Lester.
You like that Maction, huh?
I do. I said this the other day. What problem in college football can't be fixed by the Mac?
There may not be any.
I can't think of a single one. So I appreciate the process we did there.
Well, and I know
Kevin. I'm going to turn that question around on you. What problem in college football can be solved by the Mac? What problems is the Mac solving?
What problem you got, Kev?
Mascot shortages.
True.
Tuesday night football, if we don't have any, they'll figure it out. They'll put someone out there.
Wednesday night action.
That is the Maction's biggest
And a vacant offensive coordinator spot at the University of Iowa. They figured that out too. So thank you. Thank you, Mac.
Also being the Mac being heavily used for transfer portal purposes as the bigger schools just come in and swoop in and grab the one or two good guys on those teams. And
a lot of talent.
Tons of talent.
A lot of NFL receivers coming out of
the Mac. Yeah. I'm sure there's a number of Mac guys in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks.
Should we find out?
Yeah. I mean, it might take a little more.
I guarantee you there's at least a handful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Super Bowl.
But that is true. It's probably going less and less than previous years because transfer portal, NIL, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. You'll have to go back and see, like, how many guys started in the Mac. That's going to have to be the new stat.
Mm-hmm.
They're not making this easy on me.
No, it's going to take a little bit more digging than that. But, you know what? As far as the Super Bowl goes, we'll end with that. Kittle gets his redemption. That video clip is really, really cool of him going, I will be back.
Can we also just point out that every single year that we were invited to tight end, George Kittle has gone to the Super Bowl right after?
That's true.
I hear he's a superstitious guy, so you might have to.
Yeah. I'm no mathematician, but numbers are numbers. And you draw the lines, people. Connect the dots.
I'm done with numbers, dude. I've seen too many numbers about people analyzing.
Should I do that on our Twitter? Just the advanced analytics?
Yes, please. You have free reign, as I said. That's all
maybe,
I got.
Grant, maybe you should start getting edgy on Twitter like all these other
dude, accounts. Yeah, get edgy, dude.
I do. By the way, just to clear up, the guy in this video 100% says dribbling was invented in like 1958, and he's dead wrong. But
and you just
I got got I got got
you got got, and you know what? It's very big of you to admit you were wrong.
Yeah, it was invented in 1901. For anyone that's curious,
so there wasn't that there was a point where basketball did not have dribbling.
There was like 15 years of no dribbling.
That's insane.
But the NBA has always had dribbling. In case anyone's curious, my apologies to the people.
Bitches.
What is the was the guy from the Cincinnati Reds where he's like, I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith.
There's a long drive.
There's a long drive out to center
field. It's a deep drive right by Castellanos, and that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'll ever put on this headset again.
It's so good. I don't know if I'll ever. Oh, shit. That's one of the all-time clips, man. Check out the walk-on store link there in the corner. with the QR code, or you could just go to hawkadelic.com. We got a big tab there that you can hit the walk-ons, view our stuff. Patreon.com if you want to see that extended conversation with Drake and all the shenanigans that go on over there. That keeps growing. It's very cool to see. And that's it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week with something, and we'll see you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.